I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH Boston. The Democratic Republic of Congo has long been mired in conflict. A civil war that ravaged the country for years ended in 2002, but even today, Congo remains overrun with weapons and guerrilla groups, especially in the east. And within that desolate reality, rape is routinely used as a weapon against civilians. Now, a new study reveals that the incidence of rape in Congo is far higher than previously estimated. The study, published today in the American Journal of Public Health, suggests that more than 1,100 Congolese women are raped every day. That's 26 times higher than previous estimates. Lisa Shannon is a writer and has spent a lot of time in Congo speaking with victims of sexual violence. She says the study is a milestone, in part because it shows skyrocketing rates of rape in Congo are not limited to conflict zones.
It's big news, not only because the scale is so much larger than what we thought, but in particular in this study, one of the interesting findings is that the pandemic is not contained to eastern Congo. So traditionally, rape in Congo has been framed as women being caught between two armed groups. And what you see in Equator province is actually rates of rape that are higher than South Kivu. That's remarkable. I was in South Kivu the year that this was collected, and I visited women's groups where half of the women had been raped just in the last 6 months. So to say that a non-conflict area has higher rates of rape is extremely significant and points really to the categorical failure of the Congolese government to protect its own citizens from mass atrocity.
Well, break that down for us again as an activist. How do you use this data to make progress out of this miserable situation and create consequences for the perpetrators?
Right. Well, you have to begin with a comprehensive security sector reform program that's led by the government of Congo. And the way you do that is leverage the financial clout that we have in order to get them to engage in measurable milestones. So on the ground, that means, for instance, paying soldiers so that they have something to lose, because right now they're just given guns and expected to basically free range. Mm. So that's one thing. You have to prosecute. You have to remove known war criminals from army ranks. Basic stuff like that would go a long way towards securing the country. And I think for us, looking at the larger systemic problem, I think the other thing you have to look at is that the United States and the international donor community gives billions of dollars every year to the government of Congo and yet makes very few requirements, few conditions, and it's really not coordinated. So in fact, the international community is actively participating in that systemic problem and in fact enabling it. Congolese army and police are primary perpetrators of the violence in Congo. For instance, there's one woman on the ground in Congo who runs a coalition of 35 women's organizations trying to fight impunity. As punishment for her speaking out, soldiers actually came to her home and raped her daughter. She got her daughter to safety and has continued her work. So that's the kind of heroic work Congolese women are doing on the ground, but we have to look at the systemic issues that are feeding this violence.
Finally, this is a difficult question to frame, but is there a danger in focusing so intensively on rape in Congo? I mean, maybe the focus becomes more on this inexplicably cruel and wanton violence in a part of the world we generally ignore, and less on really trying to better understand the fundamental problems in Congo.
Yeah, I would say for sure that the sexual violence in Congo is a symptom of a more systemic problem, which is the Congolese government's failure to protect. You see it in, you know, the Congolese army is also known to murder people. They're also known to steal regularly. So in this case, I would say one key very concrete thing that we could do immediately is appoint a Great Lakes Special Envoy. So we're giving $1 billion a year, but we're not coordinating it. We're not leveraging it. And there's no coordination even within the government of the United States in terms of programs. It would cost the U.S. government less than $2 million a year to coordinate and leverage that clout to help end the violence. And yet up until this point, it really has not been prioritized. So that's a very simple, concrete step that would lead to a comprehensive plan and really start to go after the key drivers here.
Lisa Shannon is the author of 1,000 Sisters and the founder of Run for Congo Women, a group addressing the humanitarian crisis in the Democratic Republic of Congo.